This is the time in our gathering when we usually have a sermon, but as part of this special service, Jazz Matins, we're going to move between music and song and invite you to reflect on the vulnerability of waiting. Life is full of waiting. Dr. Seuss's book, I don't know if anybody's read it, Oh, the Places You Will Go, puts it like this. The waiting place is for people just waiting, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. And Advent is this time when we really lean in to that time of waiting, waiting with special significance, where we remember and live into the reality that we are still waiting for Jesus' return. Also watching and waiting for Christ's incarnation in the ordinary parts of our lives, here and now. And this kind of waiting, just like the incarnation, can include some discomfort and vulnerability, partly because we need to rely on someone else to fulfill the expectation. We can't do it or make it happen. That's vulnerable. And partly because of the tensions we have to hold as we wait. We wait holding both hopeful expectation and doubt. We wait for Jesus' return, and God is both with us and yet unseen. And as we wait, we look for what is sacred in the ordinary. So for the next 25 minutes, we're going to look at these tensions using readings and music to guide us. And I just invite you to take on a posture of listening. Some of the poems that we're going to read are on a sheet of paper with you. So as the music plays, you can read them and reflect on them. But use this space how you need to in this time of Advent to reflect on what this time of waiting is about. I'm going to invite Tim to come and do the first reading.
From the book of Isaiah, the one who calls people to keep waiting, crying out in the wilderness. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah's kind of waiting, waiting as preparation, is reliant on hope, living as if Jesus is coming, even as we manage the what if he's not of our hidden doubts. Our experiences have taught us that both hope and doubt can feel vulnerable. This is a poem from Walter Brueggemann that speaks to that tension, called The Grace and Impatience to Wait. In our secret yearnings, we wait for your coming. And in our grinding despair, we doubt that you will. And in this privileged place, we are surrounded by witnesses who yearn more than do we, and by those who despair more deeply than do we. Look upon your church and its pastors in this season of hope, which runs so quickly to fatigue, and this season of yearning, which becomes so easily quarrelsome. Give us the grace and the impatience to wait for your coming to the bottom of our toes, to the edge of our fingertips. We do not want our several worlds to end. Come in your power and come in your weakness, in any case, and make all things new. Amen.
stretching, waiting for the one who brings hope into our despair. Watching, waiting for the one who bears light into our
As we wait, God is with us and unseen. Christian Wiman writes in his book, My Bright Abyss, that religious despair is often a defense against boredom and the daily grind of existence. Lacking intensity in our lives, we say that we are distant from God and then seek to make that distance into an intense experience.
It is among the most difficult spiritual ailments to heal because it is wholly, usually wholly illusory. There are definitely times when we must suffer God's absence, when we are called to enter the dark night of the soul in order to pass into something new, a new understanding of God, some deeper communion with Him and with all creation. But this is very rare. And for the most part, our dark night of the soul are, in a way that is more pathetic than tragic, wishful thinking. God is not absent. God is everywhere in the world we are too dispirited to love. To feel God, to find God, does not usually require that we renounce our all worldly possessions and enter a monastery, or give our lives over to some cause of social justice, or create some sort of sacred art, or begin spontaneously speaking in tongues. All too often, the task to which we are called is simply to show a kindness to the irritating person in the cubicle next to us, say or to touch the face of a spouse from whom we ourselves have long been absent, letting grace wake love from our intense self-enclosed sleep. Jan Richardson offers this poetic blessing for those seasons when we cannot see God. Blessing for the longest night. All throughout these months, as the shadows have lengthened, this blessing has been gathering itself, making ready, preparing for this night. It has practiced walking in the dark, traveling with its eyes closed, feeling its way by memory, by touch, by the pull of the moon, even as it wanes. So believe me when I tell you, this blessing will reach you, even if you have not light enough to read it. It will find you even though you cannot see it coming. You will know the moment of its arriving by your release of the breath you have long held, a loosening of the clenching in your hands, of the clutch around your heart, a thinning of the darkness that has drawn itself around you. This blessing does not mean to take the night away, but it knows its hidden roads, knows the resting spots along the path, knows what it means to travel in the company of a friend. So when this blessing comes, take its hand, get up, set out on the road you cannot see. This is the night when you can trust that any direction you go, you will be walking towards the dawn. As you listen to the song, I'd invite you to read through the poem again. You might close your eyes and imagine yourself on a path, walking in darkness. What do you need to walk that path with trust? Thank you.
We watch for the incarnation, the sacred in the ordinary. Last week at Jacob's Well, we meditated on John 1. The Message translation says that God moved into the neighborhood. Kat Armus writes, "There's something poetic and powerful about God coming into our neighborhood, unpacking boxes, waving at passersby, walking our streets, and standing in line at our grocery stores." A legal expert once asked Jesus to name the greatest commandment: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind," he answered. But in addition, he also said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And the legal expert didn't ask about the second commandment, but Jesus thought it important enough to include it in his response. But this was more than just a response, it was his way of life. God didn't just tell us to love our neighbors. God put on flesh and bones and became one, inhabiting the same world we do, breathing the same air we breathe. God became fragile and vulnerable and dwelt among the ordinary because God had moved into the neighborhood. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Here's a local story of incarnation offered by someone in our community. They wrote, "I'm not sure if this counts as a story of incarnation or not, but it has lodged itself in my memory, so I thought I would share it. I recently boarded a bus in the neighborhood, and while I was waiting for it to come, another one of the waiting passengers was having a bit of a crisis. He was older, with worn clothes, a dripping nose, and a huge bag of cans. He was screaming obscenities, and like most Vancouverites are conditioned to do, the other waiting passengers and I were politely ignoring him. I've often excused myself from connecting people in this type of crisis by thinking that I do not have the skills or training to navigate what's going on, and I'm content to think that doing nothing is better than doing something on the off chance that I might just aggravate the situation if I did. Deeper still is the knowledge that I am protecting myself and acting in my own self-interest. But as we all boarded the bus, the other passengers and I sat far away from the man, and he plunked his leaking bag of cans on the floor near the priority seating across from the aisle. There was an elderly woman who herself had a large bag of cans, and by contrast, she was quiet and cleanly dressed. She did not seem to mind that this man was in crisis and that he was so close to her. A few minutes into the ride, she pulled out an individually wrapped Madeleine cookie from her bag, and she reached across the aisle and silently offered the man the snack. He said thank you, and he became visibly calmer less than 5 seconds earlier, and he messily ate that snack. The cookie itself was unremarkable, the type you would find in a big box at Costco. However, it reminded me of Marcel Proust's Madeleine moment, where something in everyday life makes a sudden connection to the past, maybe to the past incarnation of Christ. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, describes the incarnation of the Creator into creation as a tender mercy. A mercy on our tenderness, a mercy come into our tender, frail lives. He said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." So as you listen to the next song, you might consider, where have you experienced God's tender mercies moving into your neighborhood or weaving light into your day?
Thank you.
that will lead our feet to peace. May you dawn from on high and bring us light that will lead our feet to peace. Shadow.